If you'll turn back in God's Word to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll be focusing our thoughts on verses 3 to 6 as we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I wonder how much thought you've given to the resurrection of Christ Jesus. That might seem like a strange question this evening, so I want to phrase it another way. What impact does the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead make on your everyday life? Is there a notable difference as to how you live your life because Jesus is risen from the dead? The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it consists of the eternal Son of God coming to earth, taking on our form, being made like us, yet without sin. The gospel consists of his living obediently and then going to the cross. And there on the cross, suffering and dying in our place for our sin. He is that perfect sacrificial lamb. He takes the punishment that we deserve. Our guilt and our shame have been placed on his shoulders. He takes our place. But the gospel, the good news, it doesn't stop there. Because all of this would mean nothing unless Jesus Christ rose from the dead. His death on the cross would be meaningless if he did not then defeat sin and death through the resurrection. You see, there'd be no good news. There would be no gospel if Jesus remained dead. We would still be in our sins because the punishment of sin would not be complete. We would still be headed to an eternity in hell because all of the punishment for sin would not be over if Jesus remained dead. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our preaching would be in vain. It would be useless. Me standing here this evening would be a complete waste of time. Well, some people maybe already think that. It'd be a complete waste of time if Jesus had not been raised from the dead. Paul goes on, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And so we preach not just Christ crucified, but we preach Christ crucified and raised. There's a risen Savior. We preach the resurrection of Jesus. Sometimes when we speak of the gospel, we talk of Christ's death or his death on the cross, Christ crucified, and that's right. But as we do so, we are also implying that he then also rose from the dead. It's the same as when we speak of the resurrection. When we speak of Christ rising from the dead, it implies that he was also crucified. These two cannot be separated. It's only through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus that salvation is given to us. John Calvin put it this way in his Institutes of Religion. Let us remember, therefore, that when death only is mentioned, everything peculiar to the resurrection is at the same time included. And there is a like synecdoche. If you want to know what that word means, it's using one word to describe the whole. For example, when we speak of someone's car, we might talk about, oh, you've got a nice set of wheels. I'm not talking about the tires, we're talking about the whole car. And so here, Calvin says that this synecdoche, it's not just saying crucifixion and that's it, but it's implying the whole sweep. He goes on, there is a like synecdoche in the term resurrection. As often as it's used apart from death, everything particular to death is being included. That means that when we speak of the crucifixion of Christ, we are also speaking of the resurrection. And when we mention the resurrection, we're also speaking of the crucifixion. The good news, the gospel, includes all of this. Without the resurrection, there would be no good news, and our preaching would be in vain. And that means the resurrection has an impact for your everyday life. The resurrection is important. It matters for your day-to-day living because it's the gospel. And so that's what we're looking at this evening as we come to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. And I want to notice four ways that the resurrection matters in our lives as we look at these verses. And the first way that the resurrection matters is that God's electing love is experienced through the resurrection. God's electing love is experienced through the resurrection. Peter here is addressing, if you look at verse 1, the elect of God. In verse 2, he says that they are chosen according to God's foreknowledge. So God has chosen, out of his own good pleasure, a people for himself. His elected people. He saved them. He knew those that he would call to himself. He knew those that he would redeem for himself. That there's nothing in and of ourselves that deserves his love or is worthy of his love, but his love is his choosing of us. Now, that's not always a doctrine that people are happy about. There are some who say, well, God doesn't choose us for salvation. That's up to us. They say God doesn't predestine us. If he does, it's only because he's seen that we would actually respond to his love. But we have to make it clear that the Bible speaks of God's electing love. God chooses us before the foundation of the world, not because of anything worthy in us, but because he has seen fit to do so. It's entirely of his free grace. Now, the verses that we're looking at, now look at verse 3. Verse 3 puts it this way: according to his great mercy. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We get to experience God's electing love through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what it has accomplished. The rising of Jesus from the dead has set in place or fulfilled. It's brought to completion that love of God towards us. Through the resurrection, we get to see and experience and know God's preordained mercy towards us. Let's flip it around and look at it in the negative. Without the resurrection, without Jesus rising from the dead, we would never know the love of God for us. The love that he has chosen to show to us and pour out upon us. Without the resurrection, we would know nothing of God's eternal choosing a people for himself. Because if Christ remained dead, then sin and death would have been victorious over Jesus. He would still be taking the punishment for our sin. He would still be enduring the curse of sin that each one of us deserves. That would mean we would still be in our sin. Sin and death would not be defeated, and they would therefore still have a hold on us. There'd be no guarantee that the punishment for sin was taken if Jesus stayed dead. But in fact, Christ Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so through the resurrection, not just through Jesus going to the cross for our sin, Not just taking the punishment for our sin on the cross, but through his rising again, defeating sin and death for us, we get to know and experience the love that God had set in place before the foundation of the world in calling us to himself and setting us free from sin. It's because of his love for us that Jesus not only went to the cross but rose from the dead, showing that the payment for sin is taken. See, it's at the resurrection where God says that the punishment is fulfilled. It's at the resurrection where God says that there is forgiveness and life. It's at the resurrection where we get to know of this love according to his great mercy, Peter says, through the resurrection. This evening, how do you know that God loves you? How do you know God has set his love on you? It isn't just in the glorious truth that he sent his Son to die for your sin, but it's in that he raised him from the dead, showing us that there is new life, showing us that the way to the Father is now open into his presence. When the Jews were there on that Day of Atonement, the high priest sacrificed the animal, was bringing it into the holy place, the Holy of Holies. He would go in behind the curtain into the Ark of the Covenant, and there he would sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant. And the priest stood before the ark, before the throne of God, before the mercy seat. And all the people were waiting outside, holding their breath, waiting. The sacrifice for sin has been complete. The blood has been sprinkled on the horns of the altar. But what will happen? Will God accept it? Will God accept that offering? Will there be atonement made for sin? And then the high priest comes out. And the people can see him. God has accepted the sacrifice. It's complete. It's done. And that's what Jesus Christ has done. The once for all sacrifice, going into the Holy of Holies, going there and laying himself on the horns of the altar. How do we know God loves us? How do I know God loves me? How do I know that the forgiveness of sin has been paid for? It's because he rose again. Because Jesus came out. The resurrection is the expression of God's electing love. The cross shows us Christ's willingness to die for our sin, but only because of the resurrection. Payment made in full. God satisfied with all that God the Son accomplished on the cross and did for us. And so Jesus rose again. And there in the resurrection, we see God has set his love on us. That love that he had before the foundation of the world. That electing love according to his great mercy. Christ did this for us. The resurrection matters because it shows us that the love that God has for us and had for us in eternity past as Christ rose from the dead. But then secondly, the resurrection matters because we are given new life and a living hope through the resurrection. If our first point this evening refers us back to the past, God's electing love, that love set in place before the foundation of the world, then this second point brings us into the present. Here today, this is what we have through the resurrection. We have new life. We have a living hope. Look what Peter says in verse 3. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For Peter and all the other disciples, all hope must have been removed when Christ died on the cross. That was their lowest point. We're told that the disciples ran away. They were in hiding. They were fearful for their lives. All that enthusiastic hope and anticipation that they had on entering into Jerusalem, Jesus riding on the donkey, people laying down the palm branches, shouting out, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David!" All that anticipation that the kingdom is now being brought in, it disappears, it vanishes. Those hours of darkness there on the cross. Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The lowest point of the disciples. That moment when all hope was gone. But then there was a glimmer of hope. That Sunday morning, some ladies return from the tomb and they bring a report. The tomb's empty. He's not there. That glimmer of hope soon turns into a flood of hope. As Peter runs to the tomb and as he looks in and he sees that the tomb is empty, and then as Christ appears to his disciples, Jesus is alive. He is living. And this hope, it isn't just that Jesus was alive, but it's what it meant for the disciples and for Peter and for all of Christ's people. Sin and death are defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And through him, through Jesus, through the resurrection, they and we have been given new life. Through the resurrection, we have been born again. Paul would write that in Jesus Christ, the old has gone. Behold, the new has come. Our old self has been crucified with Christ. God has taken our sin. God has taken that sinful nature. And God has placed all the punishment for that on Christ. We've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Because not only have we been crucified with Christ, but we have been raised with Christ. New life has been poured into us. We've been born again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it makes all things new. This is what the resurrection does. Sin and death are defeated. But then there isn't just an empty vacuum of nothingness, but rather it's filled and flooded and overflowing with newness of life. Here we have the risen Jesus, the King, the victorious King, triumphant Savior. And what do we have today because of the resurrection of Jesus? You have been made new. New life in Christ, born again. When we come to God the Father through the only living way, through the one who died and rose again, we are made new, forgiven. All our sins completely washed away. And Christ Jesus comes and dwells in us by his Spirit. We have new life. We're united to Christ. In his death, the old self is gone, and we are united to him in his resurrection. You are men, women, and children who have been raised up in Christ. New life in Him. This then impacts our everyday living. When you wake up tomorrow morning, if you're a Christian, you're waking up as someone who has new life. When you go to work, when you're with your family, when you drive in your car, when you eat your dinner, when you go to sleep, when you're speaking with your friends, whatever it is you're doing, each and every day you have new life in Jesus Christ. This is what has been accomplished through the resurrection. Furthermore, Peter says, it's new life to a living hope, born again to a living hope. The word living is to do with ongoing, forever, perpetual, never ending. We have a hope that never ends and cannot die because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. We'll think of that hope in a moment. But friends, today, in the present, here and now, we get to experience new life, living hope because of the resurrection. Jesus Christ has secured that new life in His rising again from the dead. And if you are one of Christ's, if you're united to Christ, if you've come before God the Father and confessed your sin, if you're looking to Christ alone, this is exactly what you have today. According to His great mercy, that electing love, He's caused you to be born again to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It makes a difference to us today. Thirdly, the resurrection matters because it is the guarantee of an inheritance. It's the guarantee of an inheritance. Peter says we have a living hope. And then in verse 4, we're told more about this living hope. It's an inheritance. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. That is, we have a sure and a certain promise, an anticipation, an expectation of an inheritance that will last forever. Here we're looking forward to the future. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it points us to God's electing love in the past. It points us to this new life that we have today in the present. And it keeps us looking forward to the future, to the guarantee, to the sure and certain expectation that there's something glorious waiting for us. This inheritance is our eternal home. That promise made to Abraham and Israel in the Old Testament concerning an everlasting dwelling place, it was far more than the dust and the dirt of Israel and Jerusalem and Canaan. That's not what God's people were looking for. Hebrews tells us that they were looking ahead in faith to something far greater than the dust and the dirt of Jerusalem. It wasn't the physical land. Unfortunately, today some people miss that when they think about the Middle East and Jerusalem. That's not the promised land. It's not what God's people were looking forward to. Rather, it's clear in Scripture that our inheritance is something far greater. It's the new heavens and the new earth. Our inheritance is the dwelling place of God with man. It's the looking ahead to our eternal home in Jesus Christ. In many ways, we are strangers and exiles in this world. We're just pilgrims passing through. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't live for this world because this world is not our home. It's not our inheritance. Something far greater is promised to us. And our inheritance is set out for us here in these words. It is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That is, it can never perish. It will never be spoiled, and it will never fade or grow lackluster. It will always be glorious. There's much today about global warming, climate change, climate crisis. And certainly some of the things that they say and speak about should cause us to seek to be better stewards of creation, God's creation. But at the end of the day, we know that this world, this fallen, broken world, will be swallowed up. It will perish. But in and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Christ is raised from the dead, we know that all things will be made new. And we have an inheritance. We're looking forward to our everlasting home in Jesus Christ. And it will never perish. It will never spoil. It will never fade. Not only will the inheritance be kept, but here we also see that we are being kept for it. We're being guarded for this inheritance. Look at verse 5. Here we speak of the inheritance in verse 4. Kept in heaven for you. You who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You're being guarded. Kept for this inheritance. Think about this. The power that raised Christ from the dead, the power that called all things into being, is the same power that keeps you secure, that guards you, preserves you for this inheritance. When we have been raised with Christ, when we've been given new life through God's electing love, when He brings us into His family, He keeps us. He guards us. We can't lose our salvation because it's His power that keeps us and secures us and guards us. He doesn't lose us. The one who raised Christ from the dead is the one who keeps us and guards us so that we will enter into this glorious eternal inheritance. The end of verse 5 reminds us that we're looking forward to this. It has not yet been fully revealed, but it will be. It'll be revealed in the last time. That is when Christ returns. When the risen Lord Jesus comes in all of His glory. These things lie in the future. But the resurrection secures them. It guarantees them. It guards them. They will be ours in Christ Jesus because He is risen from the dead. Because sin and death couldn't hold Him. Because the enemy is defeated. And even though they lie in the future, they are truths and realities that impact us day after day. These are truths that should change how we live. They should change how we view things. How we serve, how we worship. How do we know that the future inheritance is guaranteed? The answer is found in an empty tomb. The answer is found in the risen Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, who defeated sin and death. And in the resurrection, we are united to Christ. We will be raised up. And the inheritance is ours. Jesus shows us that there is life after death. If there was no resurrection of the dead, then we of all people would be most to be pitied. Paul says that, 1 Corinthians 15. If there was no resurrection of the dead, we would have no hope. We would have no future. We would have no inheritance. But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead. And so all of these blessings are ours in Jesus Christ. The resurrection matters because it guarantees our eternal inheritance. The resurrection matters because it shows us God's covenant electing love before the foundation of the world. It matters because it shows us that we are made new in Jesus Christ today. It matters because it guarantees what's to come. And then fourthly and lastly this evening, the resurrection matters because it gives us a right perspective. It gives us a right perspective. Look at verse 6. In this we rejoice, or in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. The reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes a difference to us every day, because we're not looking to the things of this world. Jesus defeated sin and death. He's destroyed the enemy. He's brought new life. He secured our eternal inheritance. Therefore, whatever happens in this life, whatever may come, whatever trials we face, hardships and sufferings that we have to endure, we know that in all of these things, we have something far greater in Christ. Whatever comes my way, I know I will be with Jesus Christ. He has risen from the dead. And that's worth far more than anything else that we go through. Peter says here, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Many of you know trials. You know the hardships of this life. You know the sufferings, the loss of loved ones, so dear to you. The pains and the sufferings, the worries, the concerns, the hardships, the persecutions. You're familiar with being grieved by various trials. And yet in the perspective of eternity, these trials, Peter says, are just for a little while. A short time. Now you may go through these trials for days, for weeks, for months, maybe even for years, suffering with pains or various concerns. But in comparison to eternity, they are counted as nothing. They are few, they are little, for a little while. And so Peter says, because of this we rejoice. Our perspective is we are a people of worship, a people of praise. It doesn't necessarily mean that we walk around all the time with a silly grin on our face. That's not reality. We go through times of mourning and grieving and pain. But inwardly, we know this is for a little while. And so I am rejoicing because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And because in Jesus Christ I know that love of God that He set on me before the foundation of the world. And because in and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ I know all things have been made new in my life. And I now have new life and been born again, raised with Christ. And because in and through Jesus Christ and through the resurrection I know I have an inheritance that's kept in heaven for me. An inheritance that is beyond my grasp and understanding, that's so glorious and wonderful. And it's eternal. And because of that, these momentary afflictions, as Paul would call them, this grieved by various trials for a little while, in comparison to what's to come, I rejoice. I'm a person of praise, a person of worship. I serve Jesus Christ. I keep my eyes on the risen Lord and Savior, and so I praise Him. That's why Peter says at the beginning of verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because according to His great mercy, He's given us new life through the resurrection. called us to this inheritance and guaranteed it and guards it for us through the resurrection. Do you think of the resurrection? What impact does it make on your everyday living? It should make every difference. And friends, our mind should never be far from this glorious truth that Jesus Christ has defeated sin and death. And we need to perhaps remind ourselves of that every day. He is a risen Lord and Savior. And because He is risen, I know God's love. Because He is risen, I have new life. Because He is risen, I have an eternal inheritance. And that should make such a difference to how we live for Him today and on into eternity. Amen.